healthy something that I've been doing every day is that when I'm about to say something to my husband, if I'm irritated at him or, you know, if he's hurt my feelings, I just ask myself, is this really how I feel and how I should react? Am I about to say something out of bitterness from my past? And when that happens, I just go to God and I just give it to God. When you have others praying for you, it can just work wonders for you.
Good for you, Kelsey. You know what you're doing from a biblical standpoint. It's taking captive every thought out of obedience to Christ. And then that passage in Ephesians 4 where it says, don't let any corrupt communication come out of your mouth. And sometimes, come on, in our marriage, a lot of corrupt kind of stuff can flow from our minds, out our mouth, and into the ears of the one we love and the tension it creates. Hey, Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living. And today we have stories set aside from a previous program where people will share how they've turned their marriage around by making a one thing decision. What one thing could you do in your marriage? Maybe it doesn't need a full turnaround. Maybe you just find yourself being 2 degrees off or 5 degrees off of where you need to be and you want to get back on track. And so I hope it'll be encouraging to you today. And before we get into the callers, we want to remind you that our phone line is being held today and during this week. This is Share Month. We're a listener-supported ministry, and friends have been calling or going online to support the ministry. And we're doing something very special. Each person who's joining us as a new member will be receiving, as part of the Intentional Living community, my teaching, both video and audio, each month automatically. You can share it with others in your family or your pastor or others who will be encouraged. Plus, right now, a copy of my latest book, Freedom from Hijacked Emotions, How to Overcome Anxiety, Worry, and Fear, along with a brand new workbook on the same topic, chapter by chapter, just released this week, the workbook. Both will come to you along with access to the online masterclass as I teach each of the chapters in short form, about 5 minutes on each chapter, working through the significance in that chapter to encourage you. And believe me, now more than ever, do we need encouragement when it comes to the topic of hijacked emotions. So, what one thing can you do that you've done or you're working on to turn your marriage around? That's what we're talking about today as we focus on your marriage here at Intentional Living.
Hey, Dr. Carlson. I've been listening to your program for about a month or two now on my way home from work. And today you were talking about criticism in your marriage and some of the problems it causes and creates. And it's something I've been thinking about personally and trying to do because, you know, after working all day, I go home and my frustration seems to go to my husband. So today I'm going to take a first step and do as you're saying and try to make my husband feel good about himself and not criticize him as I have been, even jokingly. So I thank you. I love your program, and I'm hoping to make some great changes in my life. Thanks, Dr. Carlson.
Well, you're doing the work, but thank you. I always like to be appreciated, and I'm glad we can be here for you. But you're the one that has made the decision, as you've looked into your marriage, to say criticism is not getting the kind of results that I want in my marriage. And so you're saying you're choosing to go home now and behave differently. You are choosing to behave differently. And that change in behavior alone will make a huge difference. There's no doubt about it. 30 days from now, you call me back and you've been criticism-free for 30 days. You've been encouraging. You have been uplifting. You've been respecting, been challenging when you need to, resolving problems together. I can guarantee you 30 days from today, you'll look back and say, wow, together some great things happened in our marriage. Here is a fact of life. If you choose to be intentional living in your marriage as a follower of Christ, your marriage will change because you change. Does it mean it's always going to get better? It may not, because you can't, you know, you don't have the power to change your spouse. But I can guarantee you, if you step up and choose to be intentional in your behavior, in your attitude, in your words, in your marriage, in a way that honors Christ, you're going to be different. No question about it. Okay, let's get going here. 888-1717. Ruben is in Texas. Ruben, welcome to Intentional Living Center today.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate your call. Talk to me about what's going on in your marriage. How can we help you today?
Well, the last Thursday, the wife fell to temptation of adultery again, and it's it looks like it's over this time. She's pretty much had it set that she hasn't been happy in the past several years, and this was all coming to light within the last few months. It's been a long, it would have been 26 years in April, and you know, we've always, throughout the years, we've hurt each other. I've done wrong things, she's done wrong things, and the difference being that I could usually forgive and forget and just put it away, but anytime we had an argument, she would bring up the old past and the stuff I did in 1985 or 1992, and it just basically, it never left her mind. And I guess that piled up to where she claims she still loves me, but it's all covered in that old hurt and that old pain. And no matter what I tried, the last several years, I was nothing but an exemplary husband. I treated her for everything. I served her hand and foot, planned romantic outings and romantic dates. And it just was falling on a deaf heart, I guess, on deaf ears. And she finally fell again to that temptation, and she's moved. She moved to another city with her sister, and she's playing pretty much starting over. She's already convinced herself that she's got a new phone. She's going to get a new job there, and I'm still believing. And it might sound silly, but I still have hope that she would come back.
Well, see, Reuben, what happens is sometimes even with good behavior, even when we say, I'm going to do this next right one thing and I'm going to do it, you know, because I want to heal my marriage or I want to make things better, for the other person, for the person who's been hurt, damaged in their relationship and their view of the relationship and so on, from their perspective, it's nothing more than a Band-Aid on a cancer. And you see it as something positive. You see it as, hey, let's go in a new hopeful way. And she's interpreting it differently. One of the difficulties about talking about marriage, unlike talking about just an individual or personal growth or personal development, is that when we talk about those things, we're talking about you, when you call, things you can do for your life, things that are going to make a difference in your life. But when we talk about marriage, we got two people. And in this case, Reuben, you can't change her, but let me encourage you to do, we talk about 30 days, one thing. Let me encourage you for the next 30 days, pray for your wife every day. Every day. You pray that God will move in her heart. And I'm going to add a second thing for you, and that is you pray that God will give you strength to continue to stay focused on the priority that you have before Christ in your relationship with Him and your love for your wife, but at the same time willing to say and express to your wife, you want to get this resolved, but you've got to get into some counseling together to see if there, you know, if there's going to be hope or not. The unfortunate thing that happens, and I've seen this, and what upsets me and hurts me when I see couples, is this type of thing is not necessary. It doesn't have to happen. It's so much of what we do, it's what we do to ourselves and in our marriages. And like you said, Reuben, it's a collection over many, many years. It kind of collects and catches up with you after time. I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to hang on, Reuben. I want to have Sally to get your address, if you'll share it with me. And I want to send you a copy of my book, Starved for Affection. If you and your wife are willing to work on some things together, if that's even a part of the equation for her, there's some exercises in there and some practical things for couples who are struggling in the area of intimacy and closeness in marriage. I hope that'll be a help. But boy, the ultimate, pray for her and get into counseling together, at least for yourself. Okay, Gus, welcome to the program. We're talking about one thing for 30 days. My friend, what do you think it would be?
Well, I think it would be to keep Christ in the center, you know, go to church, have a good pastor. Because, you know, when you got married, most likely you got married in a church under God. Mm-hmm. So you have to keep God in the center of it. And it's like you not just married that person, but you married Christ, because, you know, we're the body of Christ. So if you keep Christ in the center, and not yourself. Like you said, if you marry for wanting things for yourself, they never work out. You know, you have to be willing to change. But the one thing, I think, is to keep Christ in the center of it.
And how has that gone in your marriage of what? It says here 32 years.
Yeah, 32 years. And, you know, when we first got married, we went to church all the time. And in the middle of it, I quit going to church, and that seems like that's when Satan can attack, is when you're not in a good church. And the last 8 years, I've found a good church. I go to a Catholic church, but our priest actually is used to be Episcopal, and they let him become Catholic. And he's a good minister, and he's a good teacher. And you know, and I don't listen to the regular radio. I listen to Family Life Radio. And that's what helps me, because it keeps you, if you have good friends and you have a good church family and you have a strong faith, but if you don't, and you got to remember that you got married in the eyes of God. So you made a promise to God. And I think when you break that, you're going to have to pay for it at the end of your life.
Yeah. And you know, there's a study that's been done, Gus, on church attendance and people who are, you know, go to church. And marriage, and what the research has shown that's been done on marriages that are Christian marriages is it's not just being, quote, a Christian marriage, but a couple who are active in their church, they have a personal relationship with Christ, and they really have a true heart of repentance, and they really have an attitude of serving God and serving each other. In other words, not only are they saying, hey, am I Christian, but they're a Christian. They really are living intentionally in their faith, not perfectly, but intentionally. The divorce rate is substantially less. Man, you know, I think, well, hello, that makes sense, doesn't it? Sort of a, that's a pretty common sense kind of understanding. When we're committed to Christ, we're committed to each other, and we're living out our faith intentionally, here's the fact. Statistically, you have a much lower chance of having divorce. Makes sense to me. Thank you, Gus. Appreciate your call.
Hello, my husband and I have been married 21 years, and we both are very intentional, I feel. But we do obviously get sidetracked by outside influences, and we have three children living at home and one that just moved out, and so much going on that it was just hard. And I found that a lot of the people he worked with were very anti-marriage. Their sentiments were kind of wearing him down. And both he and I started being overly sensitive to the other's comments. And finally, it came to a head, and I just demanded the kids had a week off of school for fall break, and I just begged and pleaded that I wanted to go on a vacation, even a little cheapy vacation, camping, whatever. And in doing so and getting away from the outside influences for even just the 5 days, we were able to reconnect and just see each other for who we are and how much we love each other, and just to have that all become real again. It was amazing. And so we've been back on track now for about a month and a half, and it seems just as good as it did the day we got back from vacation.
Good for you. That's what I call planned spontaneity. Put a little bit of that in your marriage. In fact, I talk about that in the book, Starved for Affection. People ask, how can I get Starved for Affection? It's a book that I wrote for couples who really want to have the vitality in their marriage to understand what love and respect is all about, with a lot of practical application. It's available here through the ministry, and you can find it when you go to theintentionallife.com. Okay, one thing for 30 days, what would it be? One thing that could make a difference or is making a difference in your marriage. Ben, you're on the line in Michigan. Appreciate your call. What is that one thing?
Yes. One thing, Dr. Ramsey, that me and my wife took is through our church, we took this call. It's called the Marriage on the Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And
a seminar. You went through a conference.
What's that?
It was a conference or a class?
It was like a class.
Okay.
That we took. And in many areas, Dr. Randy, that we try to keep the Lord in the center of our life. But, you know, we're having problems with, is because me and my wife are on Social Security disability, and my wife is on Social Security. and we don't get all that much money, and, you know, we try to keep God in the center, you know, we try keeping his word and pray, but the thing that we're basically having trouble in our marriage is our finances, as far as, because we don't hardly get to see our money. It just seems like, you know, we're in a hole, basically, and we can't do very much. And, you know, of course, you know, we tithe and everything like that. And basically, that's what we're struggling
with. Well, let me ask you, do you and your wife talk about your money? When you say you don't see it, I mean, do you have someone managing it, or do you have a plan, or do you have a budget, or what?
You know, we do have a guardian, but yeah, we want to try to become more independent for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, we want to try to get out of the guardianship, but there's some steps in our life that, you know, I really don't want to hurt anybody. You know, we want to try to, because I've been a chaplain for almost 8 years. And anyways, I'm trying to do my duties as a chaplain, but...
All right, well, let me jump in, Ben, because I only have a couple of minutes here and time's passing. I think I got the core of what you're sharing. And first of all, God bless you. It sounds like you and your wife are facing some real challenges. And one of the things we know about marriage, when everything is just, you know, greased and you're moving along and sliding through the day without any problems, then it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier with the little things that come up. But when things get tough, medical issues, financial issues, big changes in life and so on, what often happens is you really see the strength of a marriage. It's what's in a marriage that really shows up when things get tough. It's like the tea bag in the hot water versus the cold water. You really see the contents come from the hot water. So in your case, you guys have some very real challenges. And, obviously you need to be talking to someone there and putting a plan together. You got some guardianship issues and so on that are a little more complex than our program today. But at the end of the day, you and your wife being on the same page, really showing the little things you can do every day to let her know that you love her, and standing together, praying together, doing things together, just the little things. I think being able to speak into your spouse's life in little ways, and then putting a plan together that the two of you can work through. Man, I wish we could spend more time, Ben, and unpack some of this, but I would encourage you to find the resources in your community so you and your spouse can put a plan together that will work for you to be as independent as you can, to be as free as you can, but at the same time, to really continue to have that closeness between the two of you. Wow. One thing, more than one thing in that situation is for sure.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Here's the path to better communication. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with another Intentional Living Minute. Practice healthy communication. Speak to each other. Speak with each other. Listen to what's being said. Share your feelings. You know, intimacy will grow as you develop the habits and the skills of healthy communication. It doesn't come naturally in most of our lives. It's something we need to work at and to practice daily. If you don't know how, then learn how. Read a book. Watch a teaching on video on how to communicate. Seek counseling. Go to a conference. You can learn this, and when you do, it can change your life, it can change your family, and it can change your marriage. Take a look at our Intentionals for Marriage communication here on our website. It's something to help you to be intentional today.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com. Have you ever felt like you're a slave to your emotions? How many times has something, a text, an email, an innocent word, hijacked your mood? You're experiencing what Dr. Randy Carlson calls a hijacking of your emotions. This doesn't affect only you, but your spouse, family, coworkers, the people you love the most. Dr. Randy can help you learn to take control of the emotions that are controlling you and the triggers that set you off. His book, Freedom from Hijacked Emotions, will teach you to be strong in the Lord and put a safety on those triggers. Freedom from Hijacked Emotions is our gift to you. Plus, if you give today, you'll receive the Hijacked Emotions workbook and video series. Just support Intentional Living during our fall fundraiser with a $30 monthly gift. The Hijacked Emotions book, video, and workbook will be yours. Make your gift today at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. With today's program being on marriage, and since most of you are still waiting to start your Intentional One Thing Challenge, I thought, why not choose one thing for the next 30 days that will improve your marriage? Maybe speaking encouraging words to your spouse every day, or do one thing completely unexpected but helpful every day, or listen with both eyes and both ears. These are some of the things that people are doing who are already in the Intentional One Thing Challenge. What about you? Go to theintentionallife.com/one thing. Randy.
All right, that's good. By the way, that one thing challenge, let me see here. I'm just looking at, we have a little counter here. It shows how many people have gone to that part of our site, have been viewing some or all of the free videos. I've done a series of four short 8 or 9 minute videos that talk about setting goals and overcoming obstacles and finishing strong. Come, and it's just free to you as part of our ministry, thanks to our members who make all this possible. And Kurt was mentioning these one things. We have a list of the top 10 intentionals for love and respect in marriage at our website. Here's just some of the top 10. Listen without interruption for the next 30 days. Just listen. Just listen. Feeling heard creates intimacy in your marriage. How about this? Number 5 on the list. Speak only words of encouragement to and about your spouse for the next 30 days. You'll learn a lot about yourself. You'll learn a lot about your marriage. If you don't think you can do it for 30 days, try it for 48 hours. See how that turns out. Here's one. Number 7. If you are raising children together, just determine that during the next 30 days, you're going to get on the same page. Even if that's hard for you to do, at least agree to take your disagreements behind closed doors. Remember, there is intimacy in agreement. There's some thoughts for you. Today we're talking about one thing, and I know we've talked, what's coming in, though, we've been hearing problems, we've been hearing people having challenges, and here's the point of today's program from my perspective. Every journey, we've heard it said, begins with a first step. And if you're feeling stuck today in your marriage, if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling discouraged, if you're feeling trapped, you're feeling you don't know what to do, and you read these books and there's 92 things that you can do, right? Or you watch a video, there's 92 things you can do, and probably all 92 of them are good, but you ain't going to do 92 things. That's just reality. And for those of us who can get easily distracted or ADD or procrastinate, pick one thing from the list of things that you hear or you know, one thing that you could do, just a small thing to get started for the next day, the next week, the next month. What would it be, and what difference would it make? Kitty wants to weigh in on this from Georgia today. Kitty, welcome to Intentional Living.
Hi, Dr. Randy. How are you doing?
Good. I'm doing well. Appreciate your call.
Great.
What's your take on this thing of one thing, and what would it be in your marriage?
Well, my husband and I have been married for 20 years, and we have 8 children. Mm-hmm. And I was sharing with somebody earlier that I found out pretty quickly into our marriage that he wasn't perfect, and it didn't take very long to figure that out. And I think I spent a lot of time focusing on the things that he wasn't doing that I wanted him to do. And he kind of brought this up to me several times over the years, and I think about a couple years ago, it really hit me what he was trying to share, that if I could just focus on the things he was doing, they really far outweigh the negative. And I started to change my perspective just by keeping a list of things that I really appreciate about him. And I got to where I couldn't stop adding to the list. There were so many things that he does. He's very affectionate. He's thoughtful. He's helpful. He's caring. He's godly. All the important stuff is there. But I think that if you focus on the one or two negative things, I've seen people go to divorce court over right. less than that. And that's really helped me a lot.
Yeah, we used to say count your many blessings and name them one by one. You do that in your marriage and it makes a difference. Great Definitely. Great way to end the calls today. Thank you, Kitty, for your call. I'm glad Thank you're you. Listening in Georgia today.
Thank you so much.
All right, God bless you.
You know, an aha moment, one of these moments of insight, awareness, maybe through reading scripture or through the power of the Holy Spirit, can often be preceded by an oh no moment, one of those difficult, oh no, how did that ever happen in my life? Self-awareness that maybe you didn't take care of something or didn't prepare adequately or underestimated something in your life, and all of a sudden it turned to an oh no moment. So if you've had one of those moments in your life, don't take it as a point of defeat, but see it as an opportunity to say, aha, God, you're speaking to me. I'm now choosing through the power of your Holy Spirit to act in a new way, to think in a new way, and move in a new direction that will honor you. You know, that's an excerpt from the teaching this month on how aha moments can change your life. And I believe, and I teach in this lesson, on how you can prepare yourself to have more aha moments. They can happen. We can just kind of miss them and move along in our life. I think of Moses there in the Old Testament where he saw the burning bush. Now, there's an aha moment. It's possible he could have just said, well, that's interesting, and walked on, but he didn't. And the scripture says when he paid attention, it was then that God spoke to him from the burning bush. So in our own lives, there be times when I believe the Holy Spirit is convicting or reminding or challenging or provoking us. It could be through scripture, or maybe a friend or someone that's wise that can be provoking and causing us to have an aha moment, or we can just reject it and move on. I hope you won't. So that's the teaching this month. You know, let me just say this as we wrap up the show today. This whole ministry of intentional living is committed to helping you not only have more aha moments, but to see a radical change or improvement or just enjoying your life and having less regrets by choosing to be intentional. And we need your help to carry on this mission and this ministry. And I want to thank those of you that are supporting us. And with your monthly support, what we're doing is we're sending teaching like this one every month, a brand new one. And right now during this share time, what we're doing is we're making available, we're sending to everybody who'll join us in monthly support, my latest book, Freedom from Hijacked Emotions, Overcoming Anxiety, Worry, and Fear, plus the brand new workbook on that topic just coming out this week, and access to the master class on that topic as well. It's our gift to you. Would you join us? Please do. You can call. We have operators standing by, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com. And thank you for your support. Thanks for joining us today.